Some federal workers are under increased surveillance on the job. Is your boss spying on you? This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me now to discuss how you can check your devices and what the law says about what your boss can track are Case Western Reserve University Law Professor Eric Chafee. Thanks for being here, Eric.
Thank you.
And Entrust IT cybersecurity consultant Dave Hatter. Welcome back, Dave.
Thank you, Lucy. Always good to be here.
Always great to have you. Eric, explain briefly what's happening at the federal level with this increased surveillance.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where DOGE and specifically Elon Musk have been given access that's basically unprecedented. And the idea is that Elon Musk is supposed to root out fraud and government waste. And as a result of that, you know, he's trying to take a hard look at everything. And certainly, you know, this monitoring brings up all sorts of issues relating to what sort of privacy rights federal workers have within the workplace.
How is this increased surveillance being explained, Eric? Is this supposed to be about monitoring productivity?
That's a great question. I mean, there's been a lot of confusion within the federal government as to what's going on. You know, for example, with that five things bullet point rollout that happened roughly only a week ago. And, you know, really right now, agencies are struggling to figure out what they need to be providing to Mr. Musk and what sort of monitoring that he's going to engage in. You know, certainly he's taking a deep dive into a lot of data, but, you know, beyond that, it seems as though he's looking for other methods to figure out, whether or not federal workers are actually alive, which he said a number of times, and then how productive they're being within their jobs.
And that five bullet points you referenced, that was an email that many, many, many federal workers got asking them to explain their activities from the prior week. And I believe they got a follow-up email the following week. Dave, what are some of the devices and types of software out there that make it easy for employers to monitor what their employees are doing?
Yeah, Lucy, this is a pretty well-defined space. It's not new. And this whole sort of bossware, that's sort of a colloquial name for it. It goes by other names. But I mean, you can kind of think of it as usually surreptitious software. Not always. It depends on the particular manufacturer's software. And also, employers will often have the option to either let employees know they're being monitored, like you can actually, as an employee, see the software agent running on your machine. You might even be able to interface with it. But it's a lot more common in most cases to roll this stuff out behind the scenes so that it's capturing an employee's activity. And this really ramped up during COVID when people started working from home. And again, it's been around for a long time, but there was a huge spike in companies deploying this stuff during the pandemic. I think they have some idea of, like, are people actually working? And folks out there may have heard of mouse jigglers, right? Mouse jiggler is software specifically designed to try to defeat these tracking softwares so that it looks like you're doing something, right? It's clicking the keys, it's moving the mouse.
Wait a minute. This is something that an employee can get to just move things around to make it look like they're working, or just to kind of trick the software? Is that what you're telling me?
That's what I'm telling you, Lucy. Now, you know, every time you come up with a control, someone is going to try to come up with a way to defeat it. Now, I'm not an attorney, so take it for what it's worth. You know, you probably are going to get yourself fired if you deploy something like a mouse jiggler on your device. And some of this software, again, is super sophisticated. It's not just tracking what you're typing. It can enable your web camera. It can watch you. It can listen to you. It can take screenshots of what you're doing throughout the course of the day. So it's super invasive. It's, you know, sort of Orwellian Big Brother type surveillance, again, depending on the specific software and its capabilities. But if you're an employee and you're working remotely and you think that your company has installed something like this, you know, understand you're probably going to get yourself fired if you're not working. And on top of that, if you're trying to defeat it with mechanisms like mouse jigglers and such, again, you're probably going to get yourself fired.
Okay, David, can you walk us through just briefly how to look for this stuff on your work computer, this tracking software? Whether it's on your work computer, if you have a work cell phone, are there names of specific types of software to look for? Is there a simple way to kind of walk us through this?
Yeah. And again, Lucy, to some extent, it's going to depend on how sophisticated the software is itself. You know, in some cases, it's designed not to be found. So, you know, the pained look on your face before kind of says it all. I mean, it really is pretty Orwellian surveillance. And, you know, there are all kind of studies that show that people's productivity goes up when they feel trusted as opposed to they feel like they're being monitored by Big Brother all the time. But outside of that, you know, this could be on your mobile phone. It could be on your computer. They make the software for different devices. Some of the more common software out there comes from Terramind, Time Doctor, and StaffCop. And again, in, you could make an argument, depending on what it's doing and how transparent it is, that it might be helpful. Like if you're in a business like an attorney where you have to track your time down to the minute, something like this is a potentially helpful tool. It's not very helpful, though, if you don't know that's what it's doing, right? So, you know, again, I understand why companies might use something like this. But for you as an employee to try to understand whether you're being tracked or not, to some extent, again, it's going to depend on, does the company want you to know? And then if they don't want you to know, how sophisticated is the software and how sophisticated are you as a user? For example, you know, on a Windows-based machine, you could potentially pop up Task Manager and then look at the running tasks. If you find tasks that are running in there that you don't recognize, you know, you can always go out and search on the internet to find out, well, what is this task? Now, again, depending on how sophisticated they are, they can hide this sort of thing because in some cases, they really don't want you to know, and they really do want to enforce this sort of Orwellian Big Brother-like surveillance on you.
Are there other things you can look for in your settings? If you pull up settings, are there?
Probably not in most of these cases, because again, if it's something they don't want you to see, short of you finding a service that's running that you don't recognize, a process, a service, an application that's running on the device that you don't recognize, you're probably not going to have any other way to find it, because again, you can hide that sort of stuff. Now again, you might go in and see that there's a Time Doctor app installed in the applications that are on the box. But most of these things that are more sophisticated and are really designed to surveil you are going to be much more difficult to discover.
We're talking about Bossware and how you can tell if your employers are monitoring you. You can join the conversation. Call 513-419-7100 or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Okay, Eric, we can always count on Dave to come in and scare all of us. Should we just be assuming that our employers could read anything that they want to on our computers?
Yes. Meaning that, you know, if you are on a device that's provided to you by your employer, there's very little expectation of privacy. And as a result of that, they have a lot of latitude in terms of what they access and what they look like. You know, in regard to thinking specifically about the federal government actually forcing workers back into the office lends itself to even more monitoring. There might be, in certain instances with working from home, certain expectations of privacy that are greater than in the workplace. But basically, if you're doing it on a company machine, you ought to worry about whether or not you're going to be monitored and how exactly your employer might perceive specific certain sorts of communications and actions.
Well, and Dave, it doesn't even have to be this special fancy software, right? I mean, a lot of workplaces use Slack and Teams for chats and things. I mean, should employees just be assuming that their bosses could monitor that if they wanted to?
I think you're setting yourself up for disaster if you are an employee and you're not at least assuming that at some point your boss or a company system administrator or something can't get in and look at what you're doing. You know, whether you have sophisticated Bossware software installed or not, you know, an administrator could go in and look at your email. They can, you know, whether you have Slack or Teams or whatever, there are ways for them to have access to this stuff in perfectly legitimate ways without any sort of real surveillance in place. You know, your computer is logging things. Again, I'm not a forensics expert nor an attorney, but, you know, depending on what logging's turned on a device, in addition to just going in and looking at what people are doing, looking at the documents, you know, data loss protection software, there's all kinds of different ways your employer would potentially have insight into what you're doing. And then, you know, there's the risk that everything you do more or less lasts forever now as well. So my advice to people in any setting is if you're doing something in any sort of digital form, and it would embarrass you or get you fired or put you in jail, you should rethink what you're doing because there really isn't any sort of privacy anymore. You may recall many years ago, there was this celebrity scandal where all these celebrity nudes were outed. And it ended up being they didn't understand that their phone was syncing to iCloud. And the hacker was actually, because they had bad passwords, no MFA, hacking their iCloud accounts and downloading these images and then putting them out on the internet. So again, even if you think you have privacy, you may not, just simply due to misconfiguration, not understanding how things work, or someone wants to maliciously expose you. So yeah, assume your employers are looking.
Eric, this productivity software that Dave was talking about, even the checking to see if what people are, if they're using all these other pieces of software and technology, it kind of assumes that desk time and staring at a computer screen is the most productive use of many employees' time, doesn't it? I mean, it seems like there are a lot of jobs where that's just not necessarily the case.
Yeah, that's a great question. Ultimately, law, for example, is based on the billable hour, meaning, you know, practicing attorneys in private practice bill by the hour. There are real meaningful questions about whether or not that is what makes you most productive, and whether or not, thinking about the use of time in different ways might be a better way of achieving efficiency. You know, it's one of those things where these tracking softwares may show that you're busy, but it doesn't necessarily show that you're achieving a lot. You have to actually look at, what the outcomes are.
Hmm. Well, and we were just talking about Slack and Teams, these communications channels that so many employers use. Is there any circumstance, Eric, where what you've written in those channels isn't just exposed to your bosses, but could also be subject to a public records request, for example, or a deposition if there's a lawsuit? These other kinds of avenues that could make that communication public?
Basically anything that you're producing in a work environment, if you wouldn't be comfortable showing it to your grandmother, I would not produce it. And having been a practicing attorney, I know how discovery works, and the things that you see in discovery are literally amazing. Some of them are, completely non-work related and often very scandalous and embarrassing to the people who produce them. So, as a result of that, you end up, anytime you're having litigation, a chance that your private information will be disclosed. And beyond that, with the government and sunshine laws, with FOIA laws, there's also a chance that you may have things come out that you do not want the public actually to see.
Can I give you a quick real-world recent example of this,
please,
Lucy,
do, Dave,
to your
yes.
point? Now, it doesn't have to do with discovery, but there was a guy recently, this just hit the news last week, a Disney software engineer got hacked by downloading some, quote, free software. By the way, folks, don't just download stuff for free without vetting it. This guy's whole life is ruined. He lost his job. And part of what happened was because they got his passwords through a keystroke logger that was buried in this free AI software that was supposed to help him, they were able to hit Disney's Slack channel, and they uploaded 44 million sensitive Disney messages that included employees' social security numbers and a bunch of other stuff, as well as all his personal stuff, his own medical records. He's been fired. I mean, the guy's whole life basically is ruined because he downloaded this so-called free software. But my point was, again, kind of going back to your question about how could things be exposed, all this information out of Disney Slack is out there now. It's out there forever. And, Disney is probably going to get sued. Disney's probably going to sue this guy. It's a total mess. And yes, you really need to be thinking about what you're doing in any electronic forum, because it could be exposed, even though you're trying to do all the right things and you think you're acting with good intentions.
Well, and even if you're not doing something that's naughty or bad or speaking out of turn, there's monitoring this can be scary for employees, right? I mean, these federal workers who are just don't know what's being watched and how, what kind of rights do they have, Eric? I mean, what, if any, recourse do employees have if they find out that this intense surveillance is happening?
Very little. I mean, privacy law, it's one of those things that exists in a bunch of different places. I mean, if the government is doing things like exposing your private medical records or confidential information, that's not permissible. There's certain sorts of intrusions, searching handbags, for example, that, might potentially be protected by the the Fourth Amendment. But, in general, this is just the world that we live in now. And, it is really scary to be a federal worker right now. We have a lot of people who've dedicated their lives to being civil servants. And, there's a lot of scrutiny here that's being placed upon them by the federal government, maybe for the better of our nation. But at the same time, there are reasons to be concerned about, the well-being of civil servants, even the ones who are doing all of the right things, so to speak.
So, Eric, do employees have any right to privacy at work under the law? I mean, you mentioned searching handbags and that sort of thing. Should you expect to have any privacy when you're at work from your employer?
Very limited. So, I mean, you know, for example, your employer almost certainly can't put up a camera in the bathroom or go through your own personal handbag or own personal backpack or that sort of thing. In most instances, there are exceptions to that. I mean, you know, it's a question of what's a reasonable expectation of privacy, what the employee has actually agreed to as part of their job and conditions of employment. So as a result of that, you know, the assumption is that you should assume basically that you are being monitored and that anything that you might put into writing or any sort of communication or your work itself, all of that's going to be subject to public scrutiny.
Dave, what are some of the ways that employees make it easier for their employers to monitor them? I'm wondering, so if you have a work cell phone and you're using that for personal stuff, is that one of the ways you're kind of opening the door for some of this?
Yeah, I mean, again, not an attorney, but for what it's worth, to the extent you can keep your personal stuff personal and out of your work environment, that's always going to be a win. And because here's one of the things, and it'll be interesting to get Eric's take on this. I don't believe there are any lawsuits like this yet, but one of the problematic things about this software, and by the way, Electronic Frontier Foundation has covered this extensively, and they're big on privacy. So there's some good resources there to really understand this in more depth than we have time for here. But one of the things that they point out is, you know, especially if it's screenshotting what you're doing or keystroke logging, if you log into your bank, if you log into your insurance company, you know, your potential, your sensitive medical information, your bank accounts, your passwords, all that is potentially being captured by this software. Now, ideally, your employer isn't going to do anything malicious with that, but could you get fired if they knew you had some disease or get your insurance canceled? Maybe. Could that employer's system get hacked and then your information is out on the dark web and now you're the victim of some sort of crime as a result of that data getting breached? So there is a... I'm not a fan of this software, as you could probably tell. I understand why companies want it, and I think there is a legitimate place for some of it, but a lot of it is so intrusive and so insane in what it can surveil that it, I believe, ultimately is putting the companies at risk because eventually someone is going to get hacked as a result of this software, I guarantee it, and then it's going to be interesting to see where that goes in court.
What are your thoughts about that, Eric? Do companies possibly open themselves up for, you know, potential litigation if they're tracking all this information and storing it somewhere and they get hacked?
Yeah, that's a great point. So, you know, the idea is basically you accumulate all this information for purposes of making your business run more efficiently and managing risk. It actually creates risk for your business as well. I mean, you know, there are data protection laws out there. If you're going to accumulate information, you have to worry about being hacked and ultimately the fact that there may be certain things that are captured by these programs that shouldn't be as of concern. You know, there's a litigation risk there. There's also a litigation risk that, you know, if you lose control of the data that's generated and it becomes publicly available, you've subjected your business to a whole large amount of potential liability.
So Eric, Dave was just referencing this, but is it a smart rule of thumb, do you think, to have, you know, one phone for work use, one phone for personal use, make sure all your personal stuff is happening on your own laptop or computer or iPad or whatever? Is that how you approach things as a lawyer?
Yes, I think that's a wonderful idea. You know, don't use your work email for your personal email, have a separate account, have separate devices. With federal workers and with Elon Musk's current work especially, it's sort of a move fast and break things type of mentality that's going to lead to probably some aggressive behavior in regard to monitoring workers. So the more you can do to bifurcate your life into two bends, the personal and then the employee bends, the better it's going to be for you.
This is sounding like Severance. Are you watching Severance, Dave?
Actually, I have been watching Severance. Yeah.
So, Dave, is there encryption software that can help employees? I'm thinking of Signal for text messages. Do you recommend any of that?
Well, in general, Signal is a good thing. For end-to-end encrypted messaging software, Signal is probably the best thing going out there. And it's not for Meta, so that gives it an extra bonus in my mind. But that said, it's going to depend on when the data gets encrypted and how deeply this tracking software is buried into the operating system. If, for example, it can capture the screen as I'm typing the message, if it's snapshotting the screen every so often, it's getting that even if it can't get the text before anything is encrypted. So my point being, Lucy, you should not assume that even if you're using an end-to-end encrypted messaging app, end-to-end encrypted email, anything like that, that the company is not able to capture some or all of that information, because before it gets encrypted and sent, it's still in plain text and or it's potentially being screenshotted. So no, I would strongly advise against assuming that you're going to be okay if you're doing something you don't want your employer to know about trying to use one of these apps.
I feel like we're at the point where we all need to be writing notes and burning them or eating them or something after.
Inkwell, quill pen, parchment.
Yep. Okay, well, I just want to circle back very quickly with you, Eric. We've been talking about Doge. You know, could all of this that's happening, this move fast and break things, could that make it easier for hackers to get information about all of us potentially?
Yeah, I mean, ultimately with Doge, it seems like Elon Musk has been, and I think he used this word, you know, trying to find as many targets as he can. And as a result of that, I think it's going to end up with situations where there are holes. People who previously did things like monitor data privacy may end up being unemployed, and it does create a lot of risks. You know, it's a scary world out there, so to speak.
Well, I've been talking with Case Western Reserve University law professor Eric Chafee and Intrust IT cybersecurity consultant Dave Hatter. Thank you both so much for your time today.
Thanks, Lucy.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Harper Carlton. Technical director is Marshall Verbsky. And Rob Fetters composed our theme music. I'm Lucy May. Thanks so much for listening.